Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What? No more hiccups!
Yes. So if you listen to episode 570, not the content, but... At least for me, I was hiccuping all throughout the episode. But what we shared in episode 570 was that we were basically putting a little bit of a pause on the mini series that we started on 568 in order to answer a couple of questions that came in. We'll pick the mini series back up on episode 574. But today is honestly, I was like, you know, we have to answer this right now. Because of the timeliness of it. So thank you, Eric, for submitting this. And honestly, if you, as you're listening in, podcast family, if you're like, yeah, you know, I have a question like that, or what about this, or here's a follow-up question like we addressed in episode 570, we would love to hear from you, and we would love to help you in your context and from where you're at. So just submit your questions to speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device or if you're on your computer, you can go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. But you know what? Today's question I'm going to play, and it's a little bit longer than normal, but as you continue to hear and listen into what Eric, his situation that he's going to be describing, I know this is going to be, it's just going to help the rest of this episode. So let's listen in.
Hi, my name is Eric. I am a part of a multi-site church in Utah. I am the lead campus pastor at one of our smaller locations, which is just under 200 people. A lot of our campuses are, you know, 400 or 500 or even larger than that. And they're all spread out about 30 minutes apart from each other. And I was a part of kind of the first location until, you know, before we launched all these different locations. But 8 years ago, I helped launch the campus that I'm at now, became the lead pastor over 4 years ago of the campus. And we were a church of 70, and it grew to about 200. We didn't have our own building, and now we have our building. And I've been asked to now, kind of give this church over to one of our associate pastors that I have. And go and lead the larger flagship campus. At that church, they had their pastor leave. There was a division. There was a difference in philosophy of ministry. And so they went and planted their own church. And now the senior pastor stepped in to this location temporarily until they can find someone. I was asked about 4 or 5 months ago, and I had said no based off of some prayer and reading of, especially 1 Peter chapter 5. And I really didn't want to leave them during COVID as well, leave them high and dry. And I felt strongly about that. And God had given us a vision for this specific location, and you know, we're highly involved and integrated, as you could imagine. You know, I've been there for 8 years, pastor for 4, but my wife's the worship director, my son is the drummer, and I just love these people so much. We moved up here to be closer to the church, and that has blessed us, and getting to know people in the community and all of that. But now we're faced with being asked to go to this larger church again. And while I could still have a little bit of oversight to this church, my main focus would be on the larger campus about 25 minutes away from where we're at. And so my struggle is wondering when it's biblically and morally okay to leave the smaller church to go lead a bigger church. I don't want to do this out of ego, or to try to further or advance my own career. I just want to do the will of God, and I want to love the people and shepherd the flock among me. And so it just all depends on trying to figure out what God is trying to ask me to do. And I know this is probably a tough question, but I love your guys' podcasts. I listen to you guys all the time. I know you guys have some wisdom and insight. And so I would love if you have anything to share or some thoughts about this situation. I will look forward to hearing from you guys, and thanks for all that you do.
Man. Yeah, I'm glad we listened to this.
Right?
I'm glad we listened to the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much in this that we can address on so many takes, yeah.
Yeah, the hard part is not being able to ask follow-up questions about his relationship with his direct line of, I mean, it would be really nice to have a little bit more context, but
yeah.
Even still, just from my own personal experience, and Daniel, you know this, and frankly, you experienced it too, where, you know, being at Lifeway and being you, for instance, being in front of pastors and denominations and out and about quite a bit, you know, you get opportunities thrown at you. Like, hey, would you ever be interested in coming and being my executive pastor? Or, hey, you know, there's just a lot of different things from, and for me, you know, there have been things in the last, several years, but I mean, even over the last year where it's like, hey, would you like to come be the director, like the guy over the nonprofit? And I'm like, no.
Yeah,
because it's not a sense of it's kind of weird for me because it's almost as much of a sense of calling to where I can do the most damage in the kingdom as it is anything else. There is nobody's offered me a better opportunity to leverage my gifts and service to Christ to have a larger impact than the one that I'm having right now. Like. The potential to have even more because I work alongside pastors and church leaders and equip them and get to see my fruit on that other side. Whereas if I just go somewhere, unless it's the right spot, and there's not many spots I could go to, I don't think that I would be able to have. And it's not like these positions would be more prominent. You know, it would be a higher level of leadership, higher level of pay, higher level of, you know, more people might know who you are, or whatever. But at the same time, man, I can do more and I can have more impact where I am currently.
Yeah.
So for him, my first question would be, hey man, if you move to this bigger place, does it mean more impact or not? Like, that's just me pragmatically thinking of, hey, God cares more about who I am than what I'm doing. He cares more about my stewardship of what he's given me more than, I don't know. Like, if he's got a specific calling, I'll know it. Otherwise, he just wants me to do as much damage as I can, and it's not rocket surgery. Just stop waxing over it and do something.
Yeah.
That's me, but...
No, completely. I mean, there's obviously the nuts and bolts of, okay, it seems like he's really rooted and is experiencing great ministry at the campus that he's at, and he's making inroads into the community. So I think first and foremost, Eric, you need to understand if you do go to that, the main campus, I know it's a part of the same church family, but you're essentially changing churches, because as a campus pastor, I mean, you are in charge of shepherding that local campus and leading the staff and the leadership of that local campus. And so I think it might be like, hey, well, this is not like I'm changing churches. I'm still going to be around. Well, yeah, you are, but you're not. I mean, you won't be able to give the attention and the time and relationally too, right? I mean, who do you need to invest in? You got to invest in the leaders within your local campus, because if you don't, then you're not only letting that campus down, but the campus pastor that succeeds you at the previous campus, you're going to be stepping over his toes as well. And it's not going to be healthy for anyone. So I think first and foremost, you just got to recognize that, hey, this is like changing churches, especially if you're the campus pastor. And are you willing to do that, right? Are you actually saying to yourself, no, I'll still be around, or I won't move? Well, actually, that's another piece. I believe campus pastors need to live in the neighborhoods and close by where yes. their campus is, especially if you're across the city, right? It doesn't make sense for you. It's different if you're an associate staff member or if you're maybe in a centralized role or whatnot. But if you're the campus pastor, I mean, you better be visiting the watering holes in and around that campus and be living there and be a part of the community league and be a part of that neighborhood for you to be effective.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think he feels that because he said, we moved up here.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know? Like he knows that intuitively he has to do that. And I think he knows what that means, not only for him, but for his family. If his wife is leading worship, mm-hmm. his son has a part in the worship band, but his wife is actually leading worship. So if you look at, that's a pretty big hit for congregation at one time. To lose the main leader and the worship leader is a big hit.
Yeah, and that's considering that, and that's if she goes with him to that other campus, which she definitely should. Because the life that you have built right now with life and ministry and the rhythm of all of that, you're going to have to start from scratch again when you go to that other campus. Now, does that mean that God is not calling you there? No, that's not what we're trying to say here. Heck, that's something that you can only get answered from God. I mean, only God can do that. Only God, because, I mean, just think about Moses, right? Did God call Moses or Abraham or anyone else as a follower of Christ to a life of complacency and to a life of no risk? No, not at all. However, just because this is a change and a risk doesn't mean God's calling you to it. And on the flip side, just because there's an opportunity doesn't mean you need to accept it. You really do need to wait on God for this and for your answer.
Man, there's just so many layers here.
yeah.
Because you don't know if his wife is going to be able to use her gifts.
Yeah, that's right. The way
that she was used to. There's so many different pieces. I did hear in his voice and in what he said, he also wants to gut check himself and heart check himself. Does he, you know, do I go just because it's a bigger deal, or I don't want to go because it's a bigger deal. I want to, you know, do it honorably. And I mean, you know, I appreciate that. I would just go back and say, man, this means helping people understand that this isn't just you, that it's your family, and it's always your family whenever you're a pastor.
Yeah.
But especially in the instance where you share a stage with your wife, this is a really big deal, both for you and the congregation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Why don't we end there on that last piece, right? It's the crowd piece, or the bigger, smaller church, bigger church context. Hey, if you haven't listened or read Eugene Peterson's memoir, it's an incredible treatise to pastoral ministry. And as I read it a couple of years back, the thing that really stood out to me was the fact that pastors should never find their self-worth tied to the size of their church. All right, that the size of your church is not a reflection of God's favor on your life. And I recognize within our Western mindset, bigger and better seems to be, we always think bigger and better means, hey, this is an opportunity from God. Bigger and better, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's always from God, right? That's not necessarily synonymous. Opportunities are not, open doors aren't necessarily doors that God wants you to go through, right? I mean, there's this piece, so there really is this piece of praying and fasting and bringing this before God as you seek Him. You know, I love what our friend Kevin Queen, he's the pastor at Cross Point Church in Nashville. I love what he says. He was like, you know, we often pray, God, I ask that you would use me to do great things for you. I want to do great things for you, God. I want to do great things, great things, great things. And he's like, what if instead of trying to do great things for God, why don't we just do things for a great God? And man, that's just, oh, I think for me as an Enneagram 3, I've lived so much of my life trying to do great things for God and just being like, yeah, but you know, isn't bigger an opportunity? Doesn't that mean that that's God's favor on your life? And isn't, because of my faithfulness here, isn't he opening up these doors there? And it's not always the case, right? We can't just automatically assume so. I think more than anything, it's all about, hey, how do we just be faithful right now and trust that, you know, doing faithful things for a great God is enough, right? And then after that, hey, as you seek God in this, maybe he is calling you to leave, and maybe he is calling you to step out of the boat, right? Maybe he is calling you to leave where you're at and go to that new place. Then yeah, God will make that clear to you. But just I wouldn't make the decision just because of size.
Me either.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thanks again for submitting that question. We really do appreciate it, Eric. And hey, if you're listening in and you're like, hey, I have a question like that or a different one about leadership and for my church plant or multi-site church or church that's trying to multiply, we would love to hear it. So you can just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to answer your question. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.